Hey, gentlemen, who are all clearly in the same room as me and not other places at all.
Hello.
Man, it's a...
Yeah, we're clearly in the same room. I've got the same blue and yellow squares behind me.
He's right. It's the same thing.
Yeah, every now and again I'll shift dimensions. Two parts of me will disappear.
Yeah, it's normal.
It's fine. It happens. It's the equinox. It happens every now and again. Mm-hmm. But gentlemen, there's been some...
The equinox. That's like the biggest word I've ever heard you use.
Yeah, no, I'm going to need to take a nap. That hurt. But there's been some news afoot.
News?
Has there
so
been
much
news?
So, I think it's...
Is it in fact our eighth week of news?
It might. I think it is, actually.
Someone good with numbers would totally tell you that. Mm-hmm. Sure. I need to take an equinox nap, so I'll get back to you. But yeah. First...
It's time for the headlines. And we have so many headlines this week.
So many
news.
Headlines.
All
that you
kinds
fell asleep of headlines.
On corduroy.
I know. And by the way, if you do need anything to help you with that headache, you can take stuff from a pharmacy. And speaking of pharmacies, we're going to talk about Amazon pharmacies.
Amazing pharmacies?
How are you in a different room and still so punchable? Yes.
Well, I mean, when it comes to something with Jeff Bezos.
So Bezos.
So tell us about this pharmacy.
It's run by Amazon. But now basically you can it's as simple, truthfully as it sounds, you can go on and order prescription medication through Amazon.
That sounds super cool. That sounds like it could be very easily a problem, though. For a lot of people, how easy is it to do? I'm sure you have to submit some form of electronic prescription paperwork and stuff. But
I would imagine it's the same as any other prescription, right? You go to the doctor's office, they say, "Hey, you're going to prescribe you," and then they're going to say, "Which pharmacy do you want to pick it up from?" Because they have to tell you. Yeah, just swing it on Amazon. I imagine there's probably like a setup and everything you have to do that way, but it's not like you can't just go on like, I need pants, shoes, drugs. Like you can't just add them to your cart from there.
That's fair.
No. And it's something that it was sort of in the works. I believe a few years ago, Amazon bought PillPack.
Oh shit.
They did. Yes.
And so there was a rumor that down the line, Amazon would be getting into the pharmacy. And so the way that this works is that essentially customers are doing it the same way, where they can upload their insurance, have their prescription sent directly to Amazon, and do it the same way. The only difference is that what Amazon is doing is that they're adding a compare feature, so you can compare the price of your prescriptions with other places before actually buying it.
So that's super cool.
But what Amazon's hoping is that if you have Prime, you're going to get a further discount, so that it should be competitive.
See, that's super cool. But my question is so Amazon is most likely not making the prescriptions and everything. They're just packaging them, correct? I wonder if there's going to be any sort of a hidden cost with that, because it's cheaper if you're producing it yourself. If you have to buy it from a manufacturer first and then resell it, obviously there's going to be an additional cost. But having the comparison option is pretty good.
I would imagine Amazon's buying it in such volumes from the prescription companies, and probably with their deal with using PillPack as kind of a way to get those. They're probably going to be pretty competitive with.
And that's fair too. Yeah. I mean, Amazon has so much buying power that they probably can get whatever deal that they need in order to make that good for the consumer. Plus, I mean, the overall convenience.
The really nice thing too, is that they're also giving any Amazon Prime member that doesn't have insurance is also getting, discounts on these prescriptions and discounts at pharmacies all over the US that Amazon has been partnering with. So it's sent them another way, because you do see those discount prescription cards that exist. Amazon's essentially doing a similar thing for their Prime members, that if you don't have insurance, you can get them up to 80% off on some generic stuff and 40% on brand name.
So they're
stuff.
Competing with like GoodRx in that space as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're
trying to compete with multiple places.
I'm not mad at it, because I mean, with medication, there's still going to be like, hey, if you need medication, you need to go get it today. They can fill it, whatever. But if you're just trying to get medication kind of on a regular...
Supplements, you name it, stuff that you take regularly, all that kind of stuff.
Amazon's delivery is pretty...
I ordered something today, it's going to be here tomorrow.
Right, it's fast and it's pretty reliable.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like if I need to get something delivered from CVS, I need to go actually tell them to deliver it if I don't want to go pick it up, and then they drop it off a few days later. And if I do want it fast, it's got to be, you know, extra $5 or $6. Whereas if I can just go into Amazon Pharmacy and click and say every month, send me this. And when it gets needs to get renewed, it'll send a message to my, you know, my doctor to ask for a re-up. That's
oh, yeah. The convenience and ensuring that you always are going to have what you need for medication, because there's been numerous times people in my family where they've run out of medication that they need in order to survive. And it's like, well, now we need a rush order. It costs so much money to do a rush order. And it's like, well, I don't have a choice because I kind of need it to survive. So,
yeah, there's just so much more value going into Amazon Prime that, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, I like where they're heading with it. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, speaking of value built into everything and kind of keeping track of your money, Google Pay relaunched quite a rebranding. So Google Pay,
which I didn't realize that Google Pay was gone. Well, so to see that it's back, I was like, I don't know.
So yeah, Google Pay is not gone. It's very confusing. I have both apps on my phone. It's strange. But basically what they're doing now is kind of having a whole financial hub, so to speak. So you can download I think they call it GPay now, and they're kind of competing with everyone all at once, right? So you have a standard way you can link your, like, debit cards, credit cards, bank accounts. You can send and receive money a la Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, whatever that might be. And you can also keep track of your spending a la like Mint and insert 8 trillion other apps here.
True.
And a bank account.
And yes, they are partnering with, I believe, who's the bank that they've officially partnered with right now that's opened that up.
They have no idea.
They're going to be partnering, I think, is it Bank of America? I don't know if it's Bank
that
of America.
That sounds like something they would do.
I think it's Citibank.
Both of those could be correct.
Yes, so they've partnered with Citibank.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me about this. I remember the name.
Stanford Federal Credit Union, SEFCU, BMO, and BBVA. Citibank now is signing people up for, they're calling them Plex accounts, and anyone in the media streaming right. knows that's a terrible name. But
yeah,
as soon as this was announced, I downloaded it, linked stuff, went into it. It's really, really cool. So say it realizes, like, hey, you just ordered food from, I don't know, Popeyes or whatever. It'll see that, go, here's your receipt. You can just press here to order it again. And it'll run through that and process everything that way. It will automatically, if you take pictures of receipts in Google Photos, it'll automatically know those are receipts, swing those into Google Pay.
Well, on top of that, it's a place where you can load in all of your rewards cards that you have and have them in one place. You can have, a tab where it'll give you, you know, certain cashback rewards that it has, but it can also give you some budget stuff too. It can show you recent payment activity, where you're at in terms of your week. It'll start averaging your weeks together. It'll keep track of bills that you have coming up in the next couple of weeks, which is great because as someone who signs for like crap load of like 2 week or 1 month trials, especially through Google Play, this will tell you, hey, by the way, you know, your YouTube TV is renewing next month. And you're like, oh, yeah, I only wanted the trial of that. I'm going
to
get rid of it.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Then it just uses the Google algorithm to you need to search your transactions. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the app. I'm not going to show you my banking information. But, yeah, it's really, really cool. Also, they partner with gas stations now, too. So you can just pay for gas directly through your phone. You don't have to actually really interact with the pump or swipe a card or anything like that. It'll just,
it's pretty dope. It'll especially just do in it. Today's day and age where the less stuff you have to touch, everybody else is touching, is right. just better. But yeah, the fact that you can start trending your spending habits and really just ensure that you're not overstretching yourself financially is really solid. Especially being as we're all at work.
Yeah. And speaking of someone that was stretched financially, Apple was recently stretched financially. Did you hear about that?
I wouldn't call it stretched, but what was a stretch was that segue. but yes, so Apple settled in their whole battery gate saga.
What is this battery gate? This is the first time hearing of it.
So, yeah.
So battery gate essentially is back in the day, whenever a new iPhone would come out, old iPhones would suddenly start working poorly.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this whole updates. Sort of theory out that Apple was
forcing it.
purposely making your old phones work poorly so that you have to go to a new one.
Yeah, I do remember this.
And so it turns out that it was true. A few years ago, Apple admitted that when it updated the OS, like when the new phone came out and there was a new OS and the old phones updated to it, it was throttling older iPhone models. And they claimed that it was, you know, they claimed innocence.
Yeah, they said it was a limitation.
And offered free, you know, battery replacements for stuff. And so there was a separate investigation launched on this. And ultimately, Apple now has to pay a $113 million fine that goes to the states involved. And also requiring Apple to, quote, provide truthful information to consumers about iPhone battery health, performance, and power management, and provide this important information in various forms on its website, installation notes, and user interface itself.
See, that sounds like a huge win for the consumer to me because, yeah, the $113 million, personally, I think that's just a slap on the wrist for Apple. They could write a check and not even care less about that. But...
Well, they do have $193 billion in
cash. Exactly. So them being forced to now display accurate information as far as the health of the older model phones, which is going to be more impactful for the newer model phones, because that was the whole reason they were doing it, was to force you to have to buy the newer model phone because they claimed...
Whether they're going to admit it
they don't even
not.
Have to admit it. That's what they wanted. That's what they were doing. And they were claiming that, you know, the older model phones are just not compatible with the new operating system, whatever. Whatever they want to say, doesn't matter. But this is a win for the consumer because now they can actually go and look and say, hey, no, my phone is fine. You guys are just trying to get me to buy the new phone. I don't want to do that yet. So you don't have to. I also hope that they actually stop doing that as a result of this. They probably won't. They'll probably find a new way around it, but... At least now they have to have accurate information. They can't sugarcoat it and be like, well, no, it's because you have the phone that came out last month. We have a new phone this month that works better.
To be fair, they'll still put out software updates and be like, oh, well, these software updates are optimized for the newer iPhones. It does have a battery impact on the old ones.
Yeah, that's all it's going to be is they're going to say it's a battery impact and then force a throttle.
Yeah, they had to be honest about it. Yeah. Which that is technically honest. The older models have a battery drain is true. Not because they're older models, but because they put in a code like...
Right, because they're telling it to do that.
If iPhone 10 equal less battery capacity.
Right. The only thing that I will say that it's a good thing that they did start to implement, and it was after a lot of backlash, was the fact that they used to force you to update your phone. You don't have to actually update the iPhones anymore. You can stick with whatever version you have. Which I think is pretty smart. It's good for the consumer as well.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of good for the consumer, we're going to talk about the Oppo X21 next. And for those of you that don't know...
Like me.
You might be today years old when you found out that Oppo is actually a company.
I had no idea. Oppo. Yeah.
And so I don't know how long they've been around. But what they've been doing is that the big new craze in phones in the last years has been the ones that fold.
They've been really pushing the boundaries and there with those.
Yeah, and so what Oppo decided to do was instead of going foldable, they went stretchable. And the X21 is a phone that with a push of a button, the phone actually expands outwards. So it becomes wider.
So it doesn't stretch. It rolls. It looks like it stretches.
Yeah, because it's got this more of the screen on like a hinge almost. I don't really know what the hell you would call it, but as it stretches, it pulls more of the screen out as it stretches out.
But what's fascinating about it is that if you look at it, not only does the phone size change, but everything on the screen as well goes with
it. Yeah,
it
actually will stretch your screen and refit everything as it stretches, which is super cool.
Which is great because with the press of a button, you can go from what they had. They had a 6.7-inch phone that expanded to a 7.5-inch almost, you know, sort of mini tablet.
See, you know what I like about this? Because, like, so the folding phones, the folding smartphones really interest me because you can get that bigger screen. But then if you're on the go or whatever and you just want to look at your phone quick, it's not this ginormous phone. It folds up and fits nicely. But the problem with the foldable phones is they are fucking thick, like really thick. But with something like this, The phone's a bit thicker, sure, but it's not quite as thick as the foldable phones, I don't think, just from looking at the...
No, but it feels sturdier, right. And I think it's a phenomenal... I didn't even think of this, because when you look at it, you're not dealing with the folding back and forth. All you're doing is dealing with a stretching, and it feels like it's a lot safer for the longevity of the screen itself. Right. When it comes to it, and with the advent of curved screens, you're noticing that the edges sort of are right. curved, and it looks like it's safer and more durable. But it's a really cool concept, because you can just basically press a button, tablet, press it again, shrinks down to a phone, put it back.
Right, in exactly, and it's not super cumbersome. It's not anything obnoxious, but you still have the functionality that you're looking for when it comes to something like that, where you can have a larger screen at the push of a button. So I think it's pretty
cool. Well, I don't know, you know, how big Oppo is, but it's, I mean, this could be, if it works, this could be definitely someone bigger might buy them up and take that for themselves.
Oppo's a decent size. They've been making phones for 4 or 5 years. They make solid phones. They're kind of in that same market as like OnePlus, where they're making a lot of generally lower cost phones, but feature packed, like kind of the, how do they get this?
Well, OnePlus, I mean, those were actually some pretty solidly built phones when they were coming
out. Sure are. Yeah, OnePlus and Oppo, they make good stuff. Oppo makes a bunch of other stuff. TCL and LG are also working on rollable phones. Oppo is just kind of the first to the market. And good, the first two or three of these are going to have a lot of problems, which is fine.
I mean, same thing with the foldable phones, right. though. You know, it's not a perfect design at first. It's a starting point.
Yeah, I'm super glad Oppo did this, because this looks awesome.
To me, this makes more sense than a foldable phone.
Yeah.
Foldable phones just aren't ideal when it comes to smartphones and touchscreens. It's it's just not, you know, no matter how you look at it. Whatever technology you put behind it, it's doesn't make a lot of sense. But a rollable phone, to me, makes more sense.
And what else doesn't make sense are the worst passwords of 2020.
Is it still password?
Right. No, it doesn't make sense to have a really easy password. You think by this point in time, people would understand that you need to have a complex password.
Or at least one that you can remember.
NordPass, which is a password manager, has released the top stupid passwords for 2020.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyone want to guess
do you
want to
guess what number one is? I have the list in front of me.
I mean, I'm looking at what they're saying the worst one is. Oh, wait, no, I lied.
Great.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yep. The second worst is just password. 1 through 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, really, really fucking dumb. Password's number 4. I'm surprised, because I'm fairly certain that was higher before,
probably, because people
is worse.
QWERTY is one of them. It's number 12.
Just really easy sequences.
Well, yeah, because people just think that going left to right across the top of your keyboard is smart.
Yeah, right.
I like that million two with a capital M.
Number 18 confuses me.
Aaron 431. Yeah, how is that a super common
password? How many people put Aaron 431? Just makes me think, like, whoever was creating this list was just vengeful against their ex who, like, cheated on them with a guy named Aaron and was like, yeah, this stupid bitch's password is Aaron 431. Stupid.
Right? Like, I don't... How...
I mean, that is an oddly specific password. I feel like that one would be not necessarily super difficult, but definitely far more uncommon than the rest of these.
It's funny because it for most of these, when you go on NordPass's website, they all say... It says... how many times it was exposed and how long it takes to crack it. The password 123456 was exposed 23.5 million times and takes less than a second to crack it.
Yeah, because it would take a human being maybe 10 minutes to figure that out.
Yeah, you put a brute force algorithm.
And although the password Aaron 431 was exposed 30,000 times and took 3 hours to crack.
That was a big, drastic change. 30,000 versus like 24 million.
Number 31 is just the name Ashley.
Takes 2 minutes to crack that.
Sure did. That's funny.
I'm trying to see what some other gems on here. Bang bang 123 with a capital first B took 2 days to crack.
Oh, geez.
And was exposed 40 times. So I don't know how reliable this is.
Yeah, because number 54 is job and talent. It was exposed 5 times. It would take 3 years to crack. So, like...
Number 143 is fuck you one.
That's great.
Exposed 390,000 times.
Most exposed. That has to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So the most exposed one was... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, followed by 1 through 9, followed by QWERTY, followed by the word password.
Yep. Yep. And all of these take less than a second. The
least exposed one was chat books.
Which wasn't exposed at all, which is weird. How do they know then?
Which is close to OMG pop.
Yeah, so chatbooks was the least exposed job and talent behind that. Like, it doesn't make... Bang, bang.
Some of these are great. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is number 142. 40,000 times. So 40,000 people are still thinking, like, yeah, no one's going to remember Yu-Gi-Oh! So we're just going to use 40... it as my password. Cheese was used 170,000 times. Cheese.
It's like, ah, yes, I'm one of a kind. Me and these other 170,000 people.
Okay, this needs to go under weird news because this is fantastic.
No. You and everyone else stay tuned for weird news because yikes.
There's some fucking good ones this week, let me tell you.
Speaking of yikes, have you noticed the size of a Call of Duty download lately?
Yeah, it's pushing half a fucking terabyte.
They're big.
What?
Well, so, all right. The Modern Warfare, with all of the updates that they've done, the game was pushing like half a terabyte of space. It is absurd.
So they're notoriously big. So a full Call of Duty Cold War install for on the Series X/S is going to take about 188 gigs.
Which is a lot of space.
Okay. That's about what it was on the Xbox One. Yeah. I think Warzone/ Modern Warfare was like 120, 130.
So what do you do when you know people are installing absurd amounts of content for your game?
Charge them more money.
You partner with Western Digital and make actual hard drive space for people with Call of Duty branding.
Wait, so Activision partnered with Western Digital to make a Call of Duty specific external?
And internal.
Does it work with the Xbox Series X, though? Does it have that same issue where they had to go and develop the Seagate one?
Oh, no. You're not going to run it from this.
Oh, it's just going to hold it for you? Mm-hmm. Neat. That sounds like a waste of time.
Western Digital has their WD Black range with an external solid state.
Yeah, but Ryan, when you buy this, you get a voucher for 1,100 Call of Duty points.
I love Call of Duty points all of a sudden.
Yeah, so you can either get an NVMe internal or an SSD external. The 2 terabyte will be $110. The 2 terabyte external will be $110. The 1 terabyte non-heatsink NVMe will be $240. What in the hell? What is this? What is what? Oh God! Is that
P10 game drive special edition? It has a 2 terabyte model for 110.
So I lied. It was not. It's not an external SSD. That's 110.
I was gonna say that doesn't make any sense. That's cheap as hell.
Yes, an external 1 terabyte solid state will be $250. It's an NVMe solid state.
Right.
So
neat.
Yeah, well, not real dumb, but good for them.
Get the money. I'm not gonna buy it, but that money.
I wouldn't buy this for two reasons. One, it's just you're paying extra money for a brand name.
Right.
And two, I already have one of these things. You can get them for cheaper than that.
Yeah.
And they work really good without the brand name. So.
Right. Yeah. It's just a WD Black. You can just get it.
You can buy those just normally. They are expensive, but they're really good.
Yeah.
And they are worth the money, in my opinion. But if you want to get one that says Call of Duty Cold War on it, go ahead.
That is true, and Greg, something tells me you have a segue tucked away somewhere.
Oh, don't say it like that.
Well, speaking of things being tucked away, because we're going on to our last for the day, I'm actually going to go to my favorite title from the night, which is Gizmodo's title that says the shambling corpse of Radio Shack is rising from the grave. Which, just a pause, slow clap for... whoever wrote this, John Biggs.
Great name, too.
From Gizmodo. God bless you.
Now.
Radio Shack still exists.
Which is freaking shocking. I thought they died.
They did. A couple years ago.
I'm not upset that they're still kicking around. That was a great store to go into. I loved it. but they don't make any sense.
Well, what happened was is that Rev, Retail E-Commerce Venture, is a company that buys and resurrects old brands as e-commerce sites. The guy who runs it, Ty Lopez, posted on Twitter 3 days ago, I just bought Radio Shack. And so Rev also owns Dress Barn. So they bought Dress Barn. And so what they're doing is they're trying to resurrect some of the stuff that Radio Shack had. And they're trying to do it in time for their 100th anniversary next year, which would be Radio Shack's 100th anniversary. And so they're buying it. And Radio. Now, here's the thing, though. Radio Shack went bankrupt in 2015 and 2017. So I don't know if it still counts as its 100th anniversary because there were a few years where it just
wasn't.
It basically just said that we can't pay our bills, so we're not.
I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but we don't know a lot. We don't know a lot more about it, other than that we know that they bought Radio Shack's patents, private label brands, and most websites, and they also bought the slogan "You've got questions, we've got answers." So we'll see what they do with it.
I mean, I'm curious. I mean, if they can bring it back, that'd be super cool. And not having a brick and mortar location just makes a lot of sense with what we're doing in today's day and age. Being on and having an online presence is easier. They're already established. They have Dress Barn. They have Pier One Imports as well. So they'll probably be able to do so. It won't die.
Yeah, but. I mean, you know, even Circuit City still exists because Circuit City went online in Canada.
Weren't they bought by Tiger Direct?
It was Circuit City
a while ago. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Tiger Direct, they just bought Circuit City for the name and they just kept selling the same shit they were selling.
Makes sense.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of Tigers. I'm sure you saw Tiger King. Tiger King was really weird. So that's going to move us on to our
weird news of the week.
Fantastic. So our weird news of the week is brought to you by this glass of rum and coke.
Yum.
Oh,
speaking of yum, Tyler, you're first.
Oh, I don't like that. So, Ryan,
yeah.
What's your favorite part of the NFL season?
The football.
Perfect. How about you, Greg?
My favorite part of the NFL season? I mean, I love when Madden comes out every August because then I get to play my shitty roster that the Patriots have.
Nice.
Man, double burn. So, no, you big dumb idiots, the right answer.
It's about to be a triple burn.
The right answer is the Pro Bowl. You know, the game that people vote on to have players from the AFC and the NFC, the harsh rivalry we're told exists, where they meet up in Florida to compete.
That thing that I've never watched?
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah, okay, good.
Because it's
I watched a Pro Bowl once accidentally, and I'd rather watch like my Super Sweet 16 for a whole
time. I mean, you're probably it's probably more intense than Super Sweet 16.
Right, so, yeah, a little bit.
So they canceled the Pro Bowl this year. People have been clamoring for this to happen. That's not the weird part. The
Thank
weird
God.
Part is it's still technically happening.
But they canceled it.
In Wait, Madden.
We just covered it. Sorry?
It's happening in Madden.
Oh, the game? My God.
Yes.
So let me guess. Hold on. So they're going to vote for the Pro Bowl rosters, and then it's going to be some kind of event where we watch these teams play against each other in a simulation?
In a lead-up to the game, the NFL and EA Sports will run a week-long series of matches with streamers, celebrities, and current and former NFL players using the Pro Bowl rosters.
So they're doing eSports.
Okay, that actually might be more exciting than the actual
Pro Bowl. Oh, it's absolutely going to be, because we can hear the trash talk.
If I can watch Samuel L. Jackson versus, like, Common, or, like... Someone like I just that would be
Let's
amazing.
Just put a
Conor McGregor versus Mike Tyson playing Madden. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if they've announced who's going to be involved.
We just take a moment to appreciate that this is effectively EA, the NFL, Madden, and all that. This is officially their ticket into a pro league esports for Madden. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's effectively what this is.
No, they've had the Madden Bowl for years. They've had people competing professionally in Madden. A couple years
really?
Ago, they had the championship game between the two main players. It was played on a screen in Times Square, like one of the outdoor massive screens. Yeah, so the Madden Bowl is already huge. I imagine that was kind of more certainly more niche.
Yeah.
I imagine this is EA's attempt to try to get back into, like, kind of get that more mainstream.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. No one cares about the Pro Bowl.
I mean, you're not wrong, because I don't watch it, and I barely watch football.
It's really safe. I kind of like the ideas of celebrities playing against each other. I really hope the coronavirus doesn't affect the rosters in Madden, because if they're going to make it really realistic.
Yeah.
But I think I might actually tune into this just to kind of see something happen, like Ryan Tannehill in the Pro Bowl, you know, virtually, which might be the only way he's ever going to make it.
Let's get Joe Burrow to play. Come on.
Speaking of NFL, do you guys know what the beer is for the NFL?
Is it Pabst?
I think, well, Bud Light.
It sure is Bud Light, Greg. Thanks a lot. Do you know who makes Bud Light?
Anheuser
yes,
Bush?
Do you know what they just came out with for no fucking reason? We're going to move on to my weird story here. They came out with a game console.
Wait,
yep.
What? Oh my God, is it shaped like a beer can?
No, it's shaped like a six-pack. And fun fact, it does actually keep two cans of beer cool, but it is a legitimate game console. It's got 16 gigs of RAM. It comes with six games, including Tekken 7, the wonderful game that is, and Soul Calibur 6.
Wasn't bad.
Tekken 7 was awful. You shut your mouth.
But it's got one of those, like, super basic generic controllers. So, like, the ones that you see in, like, the knockoff game console things where, like, they're super, super basic. There's not a whole lot going on. But the fact that Anheuser-Busch actually went and made a fucking game console out of a six-pack of beer.
What a great stunt.
Freaking brilliant.
Oh my God.
But they're currently, it's really hard to find because most places, like, you know, people are reselling them for over $1,000.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The listing I found, there's a day and 14 hours left. It's currently priced at $15,000.
Fucking, like, why not, oh right? God. I mean, it's a collector's item because they probably only made, like, two of them.
Yeah, I don't know how many there are. I will say all proceeds will be matched by Bud Light and donated to the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation. Jesus, change your name.
Yeah. even calling the controllers Cantrollers.
Well, a couple, either last year or year before, they released a Cantroller, which is a controller, a can that you could use as a Bluetooth controller.
That's fucking brilliant.
It was weird and dumb. I'm kind of impressed they have it running Tekken 7 and Soul Calibur 5.
I am too, to be honest. It's Soul Calibur 6. But,
oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's those games aren't exact. Those ones came out, like, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, they're not old. I mean, Soul Calibur 6 just hit Game Pass, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah, I know. Like, they're modern games. They're not, like, that's kind of resource intensive. So the fact that they can play them.
Well, Tekken 7's old. Tekken 7 was, like, 2014.
Still, I wonder what, like, is it? I assume it has to be running some sort of weird forked version of Android, maybe Windows, but, like, I don't know how they're running it.
Probably.
I mean, they're able to play modern
games.
Speaking of
weird, I would like to introduce you to a website that I found.
Yeah.
It's called Chimera Painter.
Oh.
And it allows you to turn, you know, childlike drawings into 3D modeled cartoon monsters.
Oh, God.
Technically, they are horrors of the imagination. And you can use a template or you can create your own. And what's really cool, though, is that they have different colors for in different parts of the body, the muzzle, the ears, the wings, the teeth, the neck, the nose, the back of the torso, the front, the back and front of the legs, the top and bottom of the feet. And there are some really impressive stock ones in there. And it becomes a rather realistic looking image. And some of the stock ones that they showed, they actually showed some pretty impressive, almost, they look like almost from like a magic card. And you can actually download it and print it out, but some of them look absolutely, truly horrifying. And so I would like to share with you one that I created, and I will share it in our Discord chat. I went on earlier and I created a dog. I wanted to create a nice little fluffy dog and just kind of see how it came out. So I made a cute little puppy on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side is my 3D result of what that puppy turned out to be.
Oh, my.
All right, all right, well.
To be fair, though, Greg, that's not awful, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Well, if you look up close and you see at the front of the mouth where the teeth are supposed to be, it is truly a nightmare. It's something out of Resident Evil.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
That's the kind of thing you make when you have spare people laying around.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah, so that's my weird news.
Great. Don't ever do that again.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah. So that ends our weird news for the week. Thank you for delving into our nightmares with us. So that brings us to our...
Greg Stock Minute, honey. Ugh.
Our Stock Minute, Greg Stock Minute. I was looking at some companies that I might want to look at in 2021 for game companies. And again, I just want to preface that I don't own stock in any of these. I actually don't own stock, period, right now. But ones that I'm looking at for possibly the future, the number one is actually Capcom. Capcom's actually thriving. Monster Hunter is still going well. Devil May Cry is still down in the new one. I believe they've announced a new one for the next gen. What's nice about it, though, is that it pays a dividend. So for every stock that you own, every quarter, it will pay you out for every stock that you own, and has really high returns. And in video game industry, Capcom has consistently really good returns. Which is one that I'm looking at. The next one is Take-Two Interactive, which is one that I've generally always kind of tried to own. Grand Theft Auto is its most important property, but like it has Red Dead and the 2K series and things like that. And Take-Two has always really thrived, because it's now branching out and having really successful mobile games and things like that, which is really good. And then the last one is Activision. And I would take a look at Activision only because... with the release of the new World of Warcraft expansion coming out, I think it's this week or next week. They have a great track record, and they have they've kept fans engaged. So those are a few to look at in the future. Join us on Saturday as we go into our deep dive because it was just released this week, the Game Award nominees for games that are getting awards this year, and so we're going to go real deep into that. Topic on Saturday. We're going to talk about our thoughts on the nominees and some maybe snubs and things of that nature. So we hope you join us then when we talk about that. So in one GTA game, say goodbye.
GTA 4.
GTA 4, the Ballad of Gay Tony.
GTA 3. Goodbye.
Goodbye.